Okay, today we want to talk about history, evolution of man and earth from a spiritual point of view, from the point of view of spiritual science. Now, to begin with, I'd like to quote a word by famous Napoleon, who once said about history, "History is a fable convenue." A fable, a legend that people believe it is true. That was his view on history. It's not worth very much. Fable convenue. Now, ordinary history, in fact, is very limited because we have to base it on documents, monuments, and where there are no documents or monuments, we have nothing to do as historian. It doesn't exist. But this is, of course, very limited, and you can imagine that in spiritual science, we find or we must find other sources of historical cognition, knowledge. And the basis of these other sources is a kind, we could call it a world memory. As we have an individual memory, everyone for us, for himself, there is a world or a cosmic memory, which is called Akashic or Akasha record. And someone who has developed his spiritual faculties may penetrate into this layer of the universe called Akashic record. And that Akashic record keeps traces of everything which had ever happened since time is in existence in very old evolutionary epochs. There is a trace. So events pass, come and go, but their traces are not destructed. You can find them. And that's the source for everything that we will look at today about evolution of man and of the cosmos. They are interrelated, of course. Now, we have a very far time in evolution in which there was nothing, literally nothing. But after a while, so to speak, there was a first substance coming into being, and this was warmth, nothing else than warmth, fire. And the first traces of what became later the physical body of man was created at that same time. It's a bit hard to think a physical body is only consisting of warmth, but that is what we have to try to imagine. A warmth body. And the epoch we are speaking about now, where there was nothing else than a warmth sphere out of which man was created as a fire being, as a warmth being. We call this epoch Saturn. The same name than the planet Saturn still has today. But much larger, we could say, if you take the planetary sphere of the Saturn today, the whole sphere, you have the sphere of ancient Saturn. And at that planetary sphere, there was a creation at a certain moment of what we call time. Time is not eternal. Time was created. The idea of time may be eternal, but the real flowing time started in the Saturn period of the universe. There is even a hint in the Greek mythology, who has the figure of Kronos, who eats his own children, as an imagination of time devouring every born instant again. And the word Kronos is translated in Roman, in Latin, into tempus. And we have in the word time, tempus, the word which is also the word for temperature, if you take temperature. So time was born out of warmth processes. And of course there were beings related to it. In spiritual science they are called archai, archai beings. So it was the first stage of the universe, very roughly speaking, of course. It's all very sketchy. Today we might go later into more details. Today we will just make a kind of a survey of huge epochs in order maybe to have a bit of counterbalance to the thinking today in science and in everyday life, which is very short-termed, no long breath in it. So if we study the evolution of the, from the point of view of spiritual science, we get a larger view. We need a long breath, which is totally absent today in ordinary science and in everyday life. So you can look at it as an exercise to widen your consciousness horizon when studying these times, epochs of evolution. So we have Saturn. That's the beginning. Then we have a time in which all manifested universe, universal elements vanish. It's called with an ancient term pralaya. Everything which comes forth vanishes again. It's like a night phase. Then the second round starts, in which another part of the human being is created, namely the etheric body. We have been talking about the etheric body a little bit in the last lecture, and this is the second part of the human being, created in an epoch called Sun Epoch. And there was not warmth only, but in addition to warmth, light and air were brought forth, and at the same time space started. Space didn't exist in Saturn, only time. From a certain point, now we have space.
What does it mean to
space?
How can one imagine a place without space?
Yes, that's a good question. We have to try hard. If you take three-dimensional space and you take one dimension away, you have two-dimensional. If you go to the point sphere, there is nothing left, so to speak, from the three-dimensional. And in fact, space, according to spiritual science, started with two dimensions. Inward, outward, not a third dimension to begin with. Like all was planes. And the etheric body floated in this sunlight, airy, two-dimensional space. and it was called the Sun Sphere, the Sun Epoch of Earth's evolution. The etheric body is younger, it is coming into the physical, and then we go on. It's very sketchy and very rough and very short. Third stage. We have even denser matter now, substance, not only light and air, but we have now also water. Parallel, the genesis of a third part of the human being called astral body, soul consciousness, only started now in the moon period of evolution. And we still have, of course, these members today, physical body, etheric body, astral body. And as the physical body is the oldest, he is the most perfect. He was there in the beginning, he was there in Saturn, he was there in Sun, and he is still there in Moon, and underwent three transformations. First, to become able to take a living etheric body into it, then to become able to absorb an astral body into it. The astral body is less perfect, youngest so far. You can see that we have quite a harmony in the physical body. It's a wonderful structure. It's perfect from a certain point of view. And in the astral body, we have a lot of turmoils. Say, let's call it passions, irregular things. That shows it is on a lower stage of evolution. It is a higher member in the human being, but in itself it is not yet so harmonious as the physical and the etheric body. The etheric body is also highly perfect and is the key in our being for everything that has to do with healing. It's the key for healing. But it's not very conscious. And I think that's very healthy, that it's not very conscious so far, because our astral body would mess it up if it is too conscious. But later. Third stage of evolution, moon, it is called the moon stage, old moon. It's not the moon present, but you could say maybe the moon sphere. Fourth stage is the earth, the real earth. Then we have a even more dense substance, earth. Parallel to this, we have the birth of the human ego. So we have physical body, etheric body, astral body, ego developed through long stages of evolution. And the ego is called in spiritual science, sometimes a bit jokingly, the baby of our fourfold being. It's the youngest. And it's in a certain respect higher than the other three, but in itself, it is not yet fully developed. We can see that easily. In some people, the ego is quite asleep. Even in waking consciousness, it's not as developed as it will be one day. So these are the four stages of evolution, producing the four main members of the human being. That's a very short sketch, as I said before. And evolution goes on into the future. That's where we are now, the earth, the ego, as the most important to be developed in the earth period of evolution. Then we will have a future stage called Jupiter. which will produce a higher, even higher part of our member called the spirit self. An even further stage is called Venus, which will develop what is called spirit life. And the last of the seven planetary stages is called Volcano and will produce the highest member of the human being. In the Indian tradition, it was called the Atma. Atma, spirit man. Now, another aspect of the sevenfold development is there are stages of consciousness unfolding. In Saturn, consciousness was very low, sleepy, almost like a trance consciousness. But it had a huge horizon, but it was not very focused. In the Sun sphere, we had a sleepy consciousness that we have still in sleeping life today. A little bit narrower, a little bit awake, more awake, but still sleeping consciousness. In the Moon stage, we have a dream-like consciousness, a little bit more narrow and a little bit more conscious. And only in the Earth evolution we are now, we have what we can call the object consciousness. I mentioned that yesterday, where we are awake and we don't mix ourselves up with what we see in the world or with other people. Separate consciousness, me as a separate being. In the future stage of Jupiter, we will have what we called yesterday an imagination consciousness. Everything in pictures. On a higher state further, called Venus, we will have an inspirational consciousness. And at the end, in Volcano, we will have intuition. Now, these higher stages are already present today as a seed. We have talked about that yesterday, and they can be developed by anyone who goes into a spiritual development process towards some sort of initiation. In other words, the future is present now, it's just not unfolded, and can be unfolded, and then you are aware of the future stages of the Earth in evolution. Now, the key, we can now turn briefly to the spiritual beings, because that's of course a main concern in spiritual science. Everything which happens is connected to beings. So what were the beings in producing the world of old Saturn? They are called thrones in spiritual science, spirits of wisdom. And they were the architects of the physical body. There are even modern philosophers who see there is a connection between the physical body and will. One of them was Arthur Schopenhauer, very famous for this. Physical body is, so to speak, an extract of will. On the second stage, we have other beings stepping in, architects of the etheric body. They are called spirits of wisdom. That explains that the etheric body is full of wisdom, which is needed for any sort of healing processes. In the next stage, we had beings called dynamis, spirits of movement, building up the astral body, which is a movement body, inward movement, not external necessarily, soul movement, thought movement, etc. And in the earth stage, we have the spirits who were giving the threefold human being, physical, etheric, astral, the spark of the ego. And they are called Elohim, like in the Bible. And one of the Elohim says, as everyone might know from the Bible, from the Genesis, I am the I am, the ego spirits. And the most prominent among these beings, including the ego Elohim, is the Christ being, connected to evolution since its beginning, and especially stepping in the Earth evolution. And you have a picture here on the wall, which you might take later or now or whatever, or you can took it down. It is quite a special picture which was used, a reproduction of course, when the Christian community was founded. Shall I keep it?
Okay.
And it is a reproduction of a painting that you find today in Milan in the Brera Museum. In color, this is a reproduction of the beginning of the 20th in last century. And we know that Steiner once said, there is a halo, there is a rainbow around it in color, beautiful, not bigger than here. And this is a painting of the Christ, which has the greatest likening of the risen one. That's why he was using it for the foundation of what is later called the Christmas, the Christian community. So the Christ being we have touched in our first talk is at the core of the whole evolution since Saturn to Volcano. He is linked to all these phases, and especially to the Earth phase, in which we have the great miracle of his sacrifice at the time of Golgotha in Palestine. And he is not an Elohim, he is a much higher being who, when he descended, went through all these spheres of the spiritual beings. And at the end, of course, he was on the level of the Elohim. Elohim. Now, this is a very rough scheme of the stages of evolution till the Earth evolution, even going beyond, making clear the parallels to stages of consciousness, from trance to intuition consciousness, drawing the parallels of the human being's members that were coming into existence. And we made a brief reflect what happens, for example, today when we go to sleep. If we go to sleep, our higher members, the ego and the astral, go out of the physical and etheric. And what would happen if they are not met by some other beings in sleep, they would be destroyed, would be useless when you wake up, if you wake up. But what really happens is that, for example, the astral body meets the architects of the astral body in the old moon stage. The architects come in. The architects of the ego, the Elohim, come in the night. The architects of the physical body, the thrones, come in at night. The architects of the etheric body, the curiotetes, come in. And there is one problem that you can study very closely today. When we in our mainly higher bodies don't behave properly, don't behave harmoniously, then we produce something in our daily life into which these higher architects of these bodies, say astral body, cannot come in without being bothered. So they find substances that we produce in these members that they cannot use. They have to throw them out. And that engenders elemental beings. I think we have talked with Catherine about this. For example, if you are lying during daytime, there is a pollution of the purity of your physical body, and that engenders phantoms, beings engendered by us and that are being pushed out by the thrones when they inhabit our physical body during nighttime, just to make an example. So we are still today linked with the original architects of these bodies or vehicles of man every night. Now, after this rough survey of the great evolution, which, by the way, is not by chance ruled by the number 7. There are 7 great planetary stages beyond the 4th, the Earth stage, and the 7 plays even a part in the lesser cycles. So the whole Earth, for example, can be divided into 7 periods. Now the Earth, the 4th big one, can be divided in 7 smaller ones. Make it clear, maybe like that. Just let's go up to Earth. Then we can unfold the Earth cycle, which is the 4th of the great 7. Let's focus for a minute on the 4th, which is our Earth evolution cycle. We can divide it into 7 smaller cycles, and they have names. And then from an ordinary historical point of view, this is prehistoric time with no records. And the first epoch we could call the Polaric Epoch. Don't now ask me about the name. Then comes the Hyperborean. Then comes the Lemurian. There's a little bit of knowledge of archaeology of Lemuria, an ancient continent between Madagascar, Africa, India. Submerged, submerged by a fire catastrophe. Then comes Atlantis, another island between North America, Europe, parts of Africa. Atlantis. And then comes the post-Atlantean time, in which we are. And then comes, I just have the numbers now, 6 and 7. Long periods, very long in time. And now you can easily actually go on and subdivide each of these in other 7. And let's do that here with the post-Atlantean time. Then we come into a very ancient, but still at least historical, measurable time after the submergence of the Atlantis island. There was a new culture coming in the east, ancient India. Much older than anything else in the cultures after the destruction of Atlantis. And then we come to another period called ancient Persia. See, we come nearer to our own time. Then we come to Egypt. We are now just splitting up the fifth, the sixth of this sevenfold huge periods of time. And then we come to the Roman Greek epochs, known in history. Monuments, very sparse monuments here, a little bit more here. Egypt also, the beautiful pyramids, for example. Then we come to our time, which is called the fifth time. Sometimes it's called Germanic Anglo-Saxon period. They belonged together. And then there will be, next time, the Slavic period with the Slavic people who will have an important role to play. And then the seventh will be, it's called the American, as if we wouldn't have enough America today. But that's an America in the future, American period. Now, these periods we can give, they are already measurable to a certain degree. They have all the duration of 2160 years. This is a cosmic number referring to the zodiac. And this is the time in which there is a change from one zodiacal sign to the next, measured by the vernal point, which takes 2160 years to go from one sign to the next. And if you want the references concrete, we have here, after Atlantis, we have the time of Cancer. Then we have the time of Gemini. Egypt was the time of the bull. Here is the time of the what is it called in English? Vitter. Aries? I think Aries. And we are in contrast to the belief of many people in the New Age movement. We are in the Pisces area, not yet in the Aquarian. The Aquarian will only come here. And the last of these seven will be in Capricorn. That's about 6,000 years in the future. And that's a key time for which we have seeds today. In spiritual science shows, this will be the time of a huge polarization in humanity. The spiritual ones who have become spiritualized, the materialists who become more materialists than ever. And we have seeds today of this twofold future humanity. We have seeds, you can say everything which goes the road of transhumanism ends up in building up, so to speak, a race of hypermaterialism in the future. This starts today. Today is a kind of a prelude of the seventh cultural epoch, which huge crisis, highlighted also by the fact that in this time we will have a huge cosmic catastrophic event parallel to this fight of all against all. We will have the coming back of the moon. The moon left the earth in this time here, the Lemurian time, and it will come back in the seventh of these periods post-Atlantean in the American time. So the earth will have huge changes to undergo. Yes.
In what sense do you mean the moon has left the earth?
The moon, when we go to the most ancient of the earth periods, Polaric called, the moon and the other planets were part of the earth. Then from the big ones here, the sun went out, the moon went out, and there will be a time when the moon comes in again, and later even the sun. So you can imagine huge transformation of the stage of our lives. And of course, the human body will be transformed. For example, already towards the seventh of these periods, there will not be sexual reproduction. Male and female, as principles of reproduction, started only in this period, Lemuria. And there will be a time where this will vanish, and there will be a kind of a spiritual reproduction through the forces of our larynx. It's almost unimaginable the transformations of Earth and the human being, of course. But all the problems people have since thousands of years, the wars of the sexes and so on, will all be gone. There will be other wars, of course.
Wars of the words.
What?
The wars of the words.
Yes, yes. And today I think we have also with this transgenderism a premature knowledge that all these gender separations will naturally in evolution go away. But if it is too early, it is a caricature. But this is already in our time now, that we have at the prelude of all these great changes and great conflicts in the future. And that's a good reason why something like spiritual science came in this time we are now, because it gives us the survey and the orientation of the large program, if you like, of the evolution. So we know where we are going, we know where we are coming, a man who doesn't know where he is coming from has no cannot clearly find out what's the road he wants to take. So that's the great value. Why did spiritual science come today? So this is just now a sketch of another sevenfold development of smaller cycles in the evolution of this planet. Yeah, that was maybe the main thing to sketch. Of course, that raises a lot of questions. And the past is very full of mysteries. The future is full of mysteries. And we are about in the middle of this journey. Actually, we are a little bit past the middle of the whole evolution since Saturn. If you want, those who like numbers can count. Every, like Saturn has seven stages. Sun has seven stages. Moon has seven stages. The Earth has seven stages. We have touched upon them. Jupiter, Venus and volcano will have. So that gives the total number of 49. And each of these 49 are subdivided into another seven, into another sevenfold period, or period seven. That is, I think that's about 343 would be the evolution number of the whole here. And we can, I think even Blavatsky knew this, the Theosophist. And we are now about in this stage, which is slightly beyond the middle. Stage 172. So the picture of the evolution through spiritual science is, of course, total crazy for ordinary materialistic, Darwinistic, evolutionary theorists. But it is a free choice we can make to acquaint us with a larger picture, which includes the spirit and doesn't exclude it, because the spirit is, of course, at the origin of all these processes and is, so to speak, superior to all these emanations, will be there still after the whole time cycle here has been fulfilled. There is a very interesting reference that even after this seventh great stage called volcano, there will be new worlds created, and the starting point in the cosmos of a new evolutionary cycle, sevenfold or not, I don't know, will be the region of the Pleiades. So whenever in a starry night you look at the Pleiades, you look at the far, far wonderful future of this whole drama stage. This is a cosmic reference, and I think our American listeners have a special link to the cosmology of all this, or could have at least. The Europeans are not so much interested in that. That is seven, maybe a word to the seven finally. It's a number that has to do with time. The time, whereas 12 is a number that has to do with space. 12 zodiacal signs, 12 in groups of Grail group, 12 disciples. That refers to the time, to the space world. And seven is no chance we have 7 days in the week. It's a process related number. 7 days, 7 years, 7 months. There was once an Indian occultist or esotericist who was asked, how long does it take to get initiation, to get illumined? And his answer was, 7 hours, 7 days, 7 years, or 7 incarnations, which means it's a definite process in time, which is linked up with the seven. How long or how short the seven in detail is, that's another question. So we can choose now, if we study something like spiritual science, that will doubtlessly speed up our development. And then maybe some of us don't need 7 incarnations to get to some kind of spiritual insight. It can be a little bit earlier, maybe. So that's the magical number 7, processes in time. And maybe a word to the time creation, which is, of course, a very unusual thought for many of us, that there was a time where time was not. That's, of course, paradoxically speaking. And already the great church father Augustine has a passage in his book, The Confessiones, about what did God do before he created time? Interesting question. And his answer was, he made ruten, to hit. What is a ruten, you know? Yes, something like that.
A whip?
No. Yes, a whip. He carved whips for those who put meaningless questions. Augustine. So he was aware of the difference between time and what we can call eternity, which is the higher level. And so far to the seven. I think that's about it for this time. We will go into a deeper level, more detail, for example, these cultural epochs or the members of the human being. Let me just give to close the main source for all this here in spiritual science is a book that used to be called Occult Science by Steiner, or Outline of an Occult Science. I think today they have changed the title, paying exceeding attention to words. Some people thought occult is not a good expression anymore. And I don't remember how they call it today. That's one of the basics work of Steiner, next to the one we have mentioned yesterday, The Philosophy of Spiritual Activity, or The Philosophy of Freedom. And it is, of course, related to this work called Theosophy, which is a book that was written at a time when Steiner was still active in the Theosophical Society, in which he described the members of the human beings, which has been evolved on these successive evolutionary stages. So Theosophy and Occultstein science would be good reference books to study, to understand more in detail and clarity what we just have roughly and briefly outlined today. Thank you for your attention. Danke, dass Sie dem Sprecher Aufmerksamkeit geschenkt haben.